workforce development. First thing I'd like to do is ask Patrick Allen to come forward, who's going to give us a very brief, and I'll emphasize brief, unless we have questions from this side, overview of just the, we're having a number of streamlining bills that are moving through. We have one today. Just to give us a, you know, where these things are in context, and we'll go from there. So we'll, as we see these, we'll say, aha, we know that's one of those bills.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, one of our members eating a fudgesicle underneath the dais, is that it?
Sorry.
My name is Patrick Allen, and I manage the state's Office of Regulatory Streamlining. As the chair has indicated, I wanted to take just a quick couple of minutes to give you a general orientation to our streamlining package. I think you've already seen two of these bills. You've got one today from the real estate agency, and then there are going to be a raft of them ultimately coming over from the House. Wanted to set a little bit of context. This is in the context of the regulatory streamlining effort that's been going on since the governor first took office. About 350 separate individual agency projects that are already underway or complete that do things small and large that make business regulations cheaper, faster, easier to understand, easier to comply with, without lowering standards for protecting consumers, public health, safety, workers, the environment, and that sort of thing. Those efforts already underway in agencies are saving today businesses tens of thousands of pages a year, thousands of hours of compliance time in terms of dealing with business regulations. This is our second legislative package. Despite all the things that agencies are able to do under their own authority and under existing statute, each session now we found a number of things that that they really do need some statutory language changes to be able to accomplish. You're going to see one of those today. The package this session is similar in size and nature to last session. It's 31 bills out of 13 agencies that range from straightforward, simple, non-controversial changes to some fairly big deals. For example, you're likely to see later in the session a comprehensive online building permitting system, which it would really significantly change how we do that regulatory activity in the state. Again, you're going to see one of those bills today. In the interest of your time, I'm not planning on spending any more time talking about regulatory streamlining, but I'd like to offer that if any of you would like to spend any more time getting a more thorough briefing of what we've done to date, more information on the bills that are part of the package, I'd be happy to provide that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Allen, and I appreciate the list, and I think this is just a good guide for committee members. As you see, most of these are House bills, and we have a few, and we've had a couple, and we have one today. But at least it puts it into context where these come from and how they fit into our efforts to be more efficient in government. And I just wanted Mr. Allen to just take a couple minutes, so just to put some context about some of these things, because they come from different agencies, and there really actually is an organized or at least the appearance of organization to the streamlining effort. So any questions for Mr. Allen before we move ahead in the program? Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. So first thing I want to do is open a work session for possible introduction of committee bills. And Janet, I believe we have two today. Everybody knows the rally here. So why don't you just tell us briefly what they are. And these will be bills that we will ask to put in as committee bills that may or may not ever come back to this committee, nor does support or rejection of those any recognition of agreeing to introduce them as committee bills.
I thought this was...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, LC 1931 is at the request of the Agricultural Cooperative Council of Oregon and would allow agricultural cooperatives to have one or more directors who are not members or representatives of members. This is permissive. It does not require them to. And LC 1511 would require coverage of infertility by Oregon health insurance policies.
Okay. We're in work session to allow for introduction of these two as committee bills.
So move, Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr has moved that the committee introduces committee bills LC 1931 and LC 1511. Any discussion? Any objection? Thank you. So move. They're in the process. Okay. We've got three real estate bills today, and we'll have, similar testimony. So let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 166. Katie Cannon, Lori Stillman, please. Welcome.
I introduce this, actually.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Katie Cannon. I'm the acting commissioner for the Oregon Real Estate Agency. The first bill, Senate Bill 166, this particular bill, let me give you a little history. Last session, 2604 was adopted, and within that bill, there was a process for handling disputed funds, and it was for client trust accounts, and it inadvertently kind of scooped in not only the client trust accounts used for in real estate activities for sale of property, but also in property management. Well, property management really is bound by the landlord-tenant law, which is ORS Chapter 90. So we kind of had to go through some gyrations in the rulemaking to make it permissive or an optional procedure. And we made the commitment to the stakeholders at that time that we would come back and kind of clean that up and really restrict it only to the sale, exchange, or purchase of real estate. And that's what this particular bill does, is it cleans that that up.
Okay. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Any questions by the committee?
Any opposition from anybody?
Chair, Senator Starr, no. In fact, I talked to Janet Jarvis yesterday, and she said she had no opposition to this bill. And we've also sent information to the property managers, which, you know, there's no opposition that we're aware of at this time.
Thanks.
Just one question on page 2, line 20. It says it shall establish an optional procedure. You might just explain why it would be an optional procedure.
Correct. Chair Metzger, in these transactions, sometimes they have come to an agreement of how the money will be going back, and it may not be to the person that's sending the money, you know, that has provided the money initially. So they make it optional, so if there is an agreement ahead of time, then they can go ahead and disperse it in that manner. But if there is a dispute between the two parties, then it outlines specifically what the licensee needs to do in order to disperse that fund.
Right. Thank you. Just wanted to get that on the record. Any other questions? Okay. Let's close public hearing on Senate Bill 166 and open a work session on 166. Senator Starr. Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 166 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Ordered. Senator Mona Sanderson, why don't you become the real estate guru for this particular bill?
I'd love to be the real estate guru.
He's on a roll today.
Yeah. Let's open up public hearing on Senate Bill 168, same cast of characters. Welcome again.
Okay, thank you. Senator Metzger, I'm going to have Lori.
We're doing 168.
Oh, we're doing 168.
168.
I'm sorry. 168 is a bill that currently escrow agents cannot renew their license late. There's no option to do that. So if you get past that date, you're just out of business. And so they can't conduct business without a license. So this gives us the provision to allow them to do late licenses, late renewals. We have only 60 licenses in this category, and they're all due on the same time frame. And so this just gives them a provision. So it doesn't put them out of business. They still can't conduct business, but it gives us the ability to renew their license.
So basically without having to go through a whole reapplication. So
correct.
You know, they'll have to pay their fee.
Background
check.
All
that kind of stuff. But not have to just go out and do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought this was pretty straightforward. I was surprised. I mean, of course, we're always hoping that anything that we do, that we get in it on time, so we don't have to do anything besides pay a late fee. But have you had anybody with this happen?
Chair Metzger, yes. My understanding, last year they had two. And, I mean, we call these people,
right.
I mean, continually saying, you're up to the deadline. They were 2 days late. The commissioner decided it really wasn't prudent to put them out of business in that period of time, so he let them do the renewal. But we'd like to make it so they have that option without starting over again.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Questions? Senator George.
Thank you, Chair. This doesn't change anything as I can read it. This doesn't change anything about, doesn't give the agency any authority to change the fees at all. This is just strictly the ability to extend a deadline, in essence.
Yes. Chair Metzger, Senator George, in fact, we're not even asking for a late fee on this.
Great.
I mean, these people understand the importance. They still can't conduct business, so we're not going to charge them a late fee, I think.
Super. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Okay. Let's close public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 168. Senator Starr.
168 to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 168 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Any objection? No. I'm going to ask Senator Montes Anderson, since these will probably end up back-to-back, Senator Montes Anderson, to just carry them back-to-back.
All real estate.
Love it.
All real estate.
Everything real estate, ladies and gentlemen.
All the time.
Okay. Now, we'll open up public hearing on Senate Bill 167. We have a number, a couple of people to testify here, including the two before us. So let's start with our agency folks first.
Hi, for the record, my name is Laurie Skillman. I'm the Land Development Manager for the State of Oregon Real Estate Agency. Senate Bill 167 is really a housekeeping bill. There are a number of terms within Chapter 696, the real estate licensing and the escrow licensing laws, that really needed some tightening up and some clarification. There was sort of this, it was indistinguishable whether an individual, meaning an individual person, or a person as it defines in state statutes, meaning corporations and LLCs, could hold a real estate license. So we just cleaned up all the provisions in our statutes so that they were consistent. It's a long bill because there are a lot of places where this language occurs. One of the biggest clarifications was that only real estate licensees, which are real estate brokers, principal real estate brokers, or property managers, you must be an individual to hold that kind of license. And so clean that up. And it also includes a new term called a non-licensed individual, which includes people who cannot engage in professional real estate activity. And that would be people who are inactive, suspended, revoked, expired, and so on. So it just kind of clarifies all those kinds of things.
Is that it for now? Okay, now you have some additional amendments proposed for the bill. And are those the ones that we actually have in LC form here before us, or those others? The dash twos?
Mr. Chair, the dash twos are what we have today, and if an explanation for them is that they include new definitions for expired and lapsed licenses, and they allow the agency to adopt rules for inactive or suspended persons that are acting on their own behalf on a real estate transaction. But there are some additional definitions that the agency would like to propose.
You want to discuss the proposed amendments that, in addition to the ones that we have before us?
Yes. One of the concepts, since we are starting to define some terms in here, is we'd like to define the term inactive license. That's not real clear in statute. You have to look at about three places to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So we thought maybe a definition would be appropriate.
Okay. And I suspect, as before, you'll also be working with industry groups on that definition when we get that back.
Yes, Senator.
Okay. Well, first of all, any questions at this moment? We're not moving this bill today. Any questions for this group? Yes.
I just wanted to note that the Real Estate Association is aware of the bill and saw the amendments at least last evening and this morning, but I don't know if they're aware of the further amendments.
Right. So, anyway, I think you know that drill, so make sure that we have that and when we come back. Okay, thank you. You may step back. And John DiLorenzo, if you'd like to come forward, has other suggested amendments.
Oh, Billy. Other suggested amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am John DiLorenzo, and I'm appearing here today on behalf of my client, the Metro Multifamily Housing Association, with helpful amendments to what is now going to be Senate Bill 167, the testimony that you're being handed related to 166, but since it is 167 that will evidently be amended. I am proposing these with respect to Senate Bill 167. Just a word about my client. The Metro Multifamily Housing Association is headquartered in Portland. It has over 370 members who manage in excess of 130,000 apartment units throughout Oregon and Southwest Washington. The organization provides opportunities for property managers to meet, discuss a wide variety of issues relating to multifamily housing. It produces forums and has many educational functions. It's also their trade association. My client participated in many of the hearings before the Joint Real Estate Agency Task Force during the interim. And at the task force hearing on March 23 of last year, we discussed our interest in revisiting rules that had been promulgated by the real estate agency, which related specifically to professional property managers. And we pointed out many of the problems associated with those rules. Some were impossible to comply with, some no longer fit a public purpose, and others were designed prior to the advent of the computer and the electronic age. During those proceedings, Senator Johnson inquired with us as to whether the real estate agency would consider collaborative rulemaking in order to address the property management concerns. Former Commissioner Taylor and the agency graciously assented to do that and took steps to initiate that process shortly thereafter. Just as an aside, the Attorney General has promulgated a series of model rules that talk about collaborative rulemaking. Collaborative rulemaking involves having an agency assemble industry representatives of other regulated parties. They have formal meetings. It is always the agency that is proposing the rules, but it is one giant work group that first designs rules, then the agency goes through with the traditional rulemaking process. There was a wide group that participated in the collaborative rulemaking process. Representing the agency were Commissioner Taylor, who personally participated, Lori Skillman, who just testified moments ago, who served as the agency's rules coordinator, and Ralph Harding, who was the chief of regulations for the agency. As a result of this process, the real estate agency issued temporary rules last September and has embarked upon a process of promulgating permanent rules. And I might also mention that this was an extremely successful process. The agency and the industry agreed upon 17 different rule changes to sort of bring everyone back into the 21st century. Of the many permanent rules which the agency and the working group wishes to promulgate as in the future, one will permit the storage of records in locations outside of the state of Oregon, provided that the agency has provided suitable access to those records. There have been some questions that have arisen as to whether there is adequate statutory authority for the agency to enact that particular rule. The purpose of the amendment, which my client is proposing on the following page, on the last page of my testimony, provides that the real estate agency will have that statutory authority to promulgate a rule that will then allow the storage of records outside of the state. This is for those property management companies that do multi-state business. Although the amendment is proposed by my client, I understand it has the support of the real estate agency. I've also discussed it with Ms. Jarvis of the Oregon Association of Realtors, and they assent to the amendment too. We therefore request that you send this proposed amendment to Legislative Council to put in proper form and style and entertain it as an amendment to this bill. Mr. Chairman and members, on behalf of my client, I want to just take an opportunity to compliment former Commissioner Taylor, Ms. Skillman, and Mr. Harding for opening up the agency's rulemaking process in such a collaborative way. They have designed a process which hopefully will become a future basis for resolution of regulatory issues between the agency and its licensees, and I hope that it may also be looked to by other agencies as a model for to emulate for working out very technical rules and regulations that affect regulated parties. Thank you very much for your time and your patience, and I'm available to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. So you mentioned the multi-state business. Can you give me maybe a more specific example of where statutory authority is unclear and why it would be advantageous to, say, have records outside the geographic bounds.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for instance, A. Norris and Stevens, they're a real estate property management company that does multi-state business. They may have their records repository located in Seattle or in some other state other than Oregon, especially if they do business all around the Northwest. This relates to paper records, but also electronic records. They may wish to have electronic records parked on a server that is located out of the state because, again, they have business in a variety of states. This rule or this amendment will allow the agency in its discretion to promulgate a rule to allow that kind of out-of-state storage, provided the agency is satisfied that it will have instantaneous access or the type of access that it needs to the records. So it doesn't require the agency to promulgate a rule. It just gives it the authority to do so if it feels that will assist the orderly transaction of business.
Okay. I see nods in the, behind you. Questions for Mr. DiLorenzo?
Well, yeah.
Senator Monis Anderson.
Sure why Senator Georgia didn't mention it, but he whispered in my ear something regarding what about subpoenaing, having a subpoena for those records that and they're across state lines. That shouldn't be a problem. I mean, I don't know how subpoenas really work.
Senator Metzger, Senator Monis Anderson, one of the requirements that the real estate agency will no doubt require is to appoint a registered agent in the state of Oregon for acceptance of service of process and for responding to those types of documents. So there should be absolutely no problem with that. In addition, I believe that the agency has what is called long-arm jurisdiction, which allows it to extend its jurisdiction across state lines. If necessary, it could always initiate a proceeding in another state and issue a subpoena from there. So there's really no problem with the agency having adequate access to the records.
Which I think we're covered with the rule making part of that. Other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. DiLorenzo.
Thank you very much for
your
time.
So what we'll ask is that you work with the agency who's working on amendments to 167, so hopefully we can have a collaborative amendment, and we'll bring it back at that time.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Collaborative lawmaking too. Then this is great.
Yeah.
Collaborative rulemaking. Collaborative lawmaking.
Well, you're on the right track. Close public hearing on Senate Bill 167. Janet, why don't you just give us a brief preview of tomorrow?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Tomorrow are two ODOT bills, and they both have to do with collections, their collections unit. One would allow them to obtain information from Employment Department records. Other agencies that do internal collections have access to Employment Department records. And the other one would allow them to do things like garnish wages and place warrants on people for collection of taxes. And these are mostly for motor carrier taxes and fuel distributor taxes. So anyway, I thought the bills might go to the revenue.
But they wanted a more efficient committee.
Yes, and then there are two other bills.
So much for the collaborative.
From the construction contractors board, one just changing a term that is used interchangeably now, and they want to change the term from complaint to something else. And the other one has to do with their notification when a corporation changes partners or managing individual, that kind of language. So the agency gets notified when that happens. So those two transportation bills and two construction contractors bills.
Okay. That's it. Well, we've been more efficient than I thought. Thank you very much, members. We're adjourned.